are gone. You can go ahead whenever you're ready. Good morning. Good to see everyone here. Fall is in the air and a nice shower this morning. We praise God for the moisture. So welcome. Today's our Mission Fest Sunday. We're excited to have Eric Clues with us from the Abbott House. I looked back, I believe, if my memory's correct, what I looked at. We had him here in 2006 for our Mission Fest. And as I think all of you know, on Christmas Eve, it's been all of our years here anyway, that half of the offering goes to the Abbott House. So we're excited to have you with us. His wife wasn't able to come, but he's here, and he's been here all of those years, 16 and a half years, I think he said he's been there. So he'll share about the work there. It is really incredible. On occasion, I've shared little bits from some of the letters that come, and just to think of what some of the girls have had to go through in their young lives before they come to the Abbott House is heartbreaking, heartbreaking. So it is an amazing ministry and work that they do. So as you know, you should know the offering today, which you just write your check to the church. We'll write one check to the Abbott House, as we usually do. 90% will go there. The other 10% will go to the Menno FCA here. Some of that from our Menno FCA will be giving to the Scotland FCA. They're trying to get theirs re-going, started up again. Alicia Gramco is one of the ones that's working on that with us. So we want to bless them to help them get off the ground so they can have that again over there at Scotland High School. We have potluck dinner afterwards, and I hope you can all stay. It's always a delicious meal. Whether you brought something or not, that's fine. There'll be plenty of food, I'm sure. The food pantry today is actually, hopefully you had that on your mind, the Bethany Food Pantry over there in Freeman. Today is the last day for those items. Is the stuff going over actually today? But this week sometime? So if you forgot and wanted to bring something, what, maybe Monday or Tuesday? We could, I don't know if the church will be open tomorrow, but Tuesday morning, okay, to bring it by. Let me see. That's all I'm going to announce. There's a lot more there, but I will let you read the announcements as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne today through the blood of Jesus Christ, where there is power in the blood, power to wash our sins away. Lord, you are the one who have made a way for access to our Father through the cross, and it is only through you, and we thank you for that. What a privilege it is, Father, that we can gather here week after week as brothers and sisters in Christ, to worship you, Lord God, our Maker and our Creator. And we thank you for the beauty of your creation, that we get to enjoy all the seasons here where we live. But most of all, your wonderful presence as you fill this sanctuary. You know each of us by name. You know, Lord, the hurts, the pains that might be here this morning, whether it's physical or spiritual or emotionally. You know us inside and out. And we thank you for moving among us and touching lives by your Spirit. You know the joys that are in our heart to be here together, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And so we do, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Number 128 will be our opening hymn. I sing the mighty power of God. Let's stand together as we sing this hymn. I sing the mighty power. Thank you. Amen. Those words, such amazing words. When we think about the sovereignty of our God in rural America where we live, when I survey the ground I tread or gaze upon the sky, and then it talks about the plants and the flowers, and just look at these arrangements up here of all the different types of petals and leaves that make up these flowers. It is incredible, isn't it? And our God designed all of that. Well, I better not do a sermon. It's not my day. Take a moment and greet those around you before you're seated, please. Okay, we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here. We've got an excited bunch of 4th through 8th graders here, which is wonderful. So some things that I have written down, praise the Lord, Pat Palmerville's here this morning with us, and her sister Jackie from Oregon. So, amen. As most of you know, Lee and Pat have had quite a journey this year, taking turns from one to the other. And Pat's, still got the broken ribs and stuff and recovering from that back surgery. And she has a heart procedure tomorrow. So they're going to cauterize some whatever in her heart to hopefully keep it from going into AFib. So we pray that that goes successful. And we're praying for Lee too. All right. And good to see you, Jackie. It's awesome that you can be here to help. The C team, which is that all freshmen girls, or are there some sophomores in there? Somebody know? Anyway, whatever it is. The C team girls volleyball won their tournament yesterday. They got first place, so congratulations to them. Yeah. Let's see, Cindy Ulmer, she had shoulder replacement surgery this last Wednesday, so she's at home recovering. I texted her this morning. She's got a fair amount of pain yet, so that's to be expected. Just keep praying for her during the recovery time. Also, Greg Wilcox, and this was on the prayer chain earlier this week, but Greg and Melanie both have had COVID. Greg's just having much more of a struggle coming out of that. He has been improving the latter part of this week, little by little, so keep them in your prayers. Those are the things that I had. Anybody else? Yeah, Amy. Okay. Okay. All right. Amy Fisher's dad's sister.
Her name's Julie Lane.
Julie Lane is in the hospital. She has low platelets and she has a lung disease, so we will pray for her. Julie Lane. Okay. Anybody else up here? Quick. Okay. Andrew. Today is Adrian Ness's 19th birthday. Happy birthday, Adrian, a freshman in college. God bless you. Okay, anybody else? Eliana, say it loud. Cooper's birthday is this coming Wednesday. Cooper Bent, what's he going to be? 4? Wow, already, okay. Yes, sir. Hayden. Last Wednesday was Hayden Dangle's birthday. And how old were you? 7. And your grandma's birthday on the same day. All right. Happy birthday. Great. Okay. All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these birthdays mentioned here, some that weren't. But we ask your blessing upon them, all of these individuals. We thank you for the joy they bring to our lives. Lord, for the volleyball team, the C team, who won their tournament yesterday, and the junior varsity team that actually beat an A school, I was told. So we thank you for these girls, these young ladies, in their season as they have some games this week, and I'm ringing here, games this week, and then go into their tournaments. We thank you for the skills that you put within them. For Pat Palmerville and Lee, what a joy it is to have Pat and her sister here this morning. Lord, you are the faithful one. They've had some great struggles these last months, and each step of the way you bring them through. We lift up Pat as she has this surgery tomorrow at the Heart Hospital. We pray that all will go well there, that it could accomplish what is desired, Lord, according to your will and your plan. Thank you for Jackie being here, who's able to help them through this time and be that extra set of hands and feet that they so desperately need. We ask your blessing on her. We want to pray for Greg as he heals up from COVID. Thank you for renewing his strength more and more each day. For others that maybe are struggling with the same virus, we pray over them, your healing touch. For Cindy Ulmer, as she recovers from her shoulder surgery on Wednesday, and several that are in the still the healing process from knee replacement, Linda Zabe and Renee Serrata and Sandra Fisher and maybe some others that I'm not recalling at the moment, but thank you, Father, for Jesus, our Savior and our healer. We pray for Julie Lane, Amy's family member, as she's in the hospital right now with those difficulties. Thank you for giving the doctors wisdom, for letting your healing touch work in her body as well. Thank you for the shower of rain this morning, Lord. And those, I know there's some that are still in the midst of the harvest that need your help, that are praying for the right conditions to bring that in. And we trust you for that and all of the field work that needs to be done in the fall time of our year. Thank you, Father, for our nation. As always, we ask for the outpouring of your Spirit upon this land. We pray for our leaders, our president, vice president, our congressmen and women, our governors, all the way down to the local level. Lord, as we stand on your word, the verse of scripture that says, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and you turn it whithersoever way you will, even as you turn the rivers of water. Lord, we desperately need your help, and we know that you're working behind the scenes, and we thank you for it by faith. And so we pray for our troops, whether serving at home or abroad, keep them safe, Lord, in Jesus' name. Our healthcare workers, so important in the craziness of these times. Lord, we just pray, too, that people would not be forced out of their jobs, that there would be some common sense in all of this that's happening. We trust you, Lord, for your work and your power, and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read from Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. This is the Great Commission from Matthew's Gospel, and when we think about Mission Fest Sunday, certainly, we think about this. This was right before Jesus ascended into heaven. He said, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, in other words, to us, go, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. That's the commission. We do it so many ways. We're doing that today as we take and give our offering for the ministry of the Alpha Center. So, Abbott House, thank you, dear. Thank you, Abbott House. Let's stand. We'll sing the doxology. I think most all of you know the offering box is in the back there.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here.
And amen. And Father, we do thank you for the ministry of the Abbott House in Mitchell and the work they do across this state and I'm sure beyond. Lord, we give. We give so that these young ladies, these girls can find life and help and healing and wholeness, which we know comes through you alone, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. You came to give them life and freedom. Thank you for multiplying the gifts that are given this day. Thank you for all the other people, individuals, churches, corporations, wherever the support comes from to this ministry, that it would be enough to do, more than enough to do what you have called them to do. We thank you for the ministry of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes here at Menno High School that we've enjoyed for so many years. And for Scotland High School, we pray that that could get going and off the ground and just be a great ministry over there as it is here. We give to you, Father, so that the harvest can be brought in, so the gospel message of Jesus Christ can be proclaimed throughout this land in Jesus' name. And Father, we confess our faith to you through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, you can be seated. We'll have the children come first for the Kingdom Kids time. Do you want your bench?
No.
No?
I'll be standing. So you can maybe ask, after I give this, then you can ask Cindy to help give the crosses. Do you want to do that? Okay. Oh, where did she go? I don't know where she went. Oh, after I give each child one of these, there's crosses. Can you help Mike give them to those same kids? Okay. Good morning, boys and girls. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Uh-huh. God loves you. Go ahead, sit down. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Who didn't get one yet? Raise your hand. God loves you. 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 Who didn't get it over here? We're giving out treats. Did you all get one? Eliana, did you get one? Here. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you, and you'll get a cross. Just hang on. Did they all get one? He needs a cross. God loves you, boys and girls. Is that the good news? It is the good news. Who loves you? Oh, who loves you? That's wonderful news. That's the good news. But I'm looking around here, and geez, I'm missing a few kids. I think I'm missing like Trent and Marie and Laura. Wow, how are we going to get them the treat? How are they going to know they're not here? I don't see them anywhere. Raylan, you guys could have gone up there. God loves you. God loves you. Sorry, God loves you. God loves you. All right. Where are they? How are they going to know that there is a treat? Trent, I think they might be over there somewhere. Well, how about this? Let's throw it to them. Trent, there you go. God loves you. Do you think you got it? Marie. Laura. Uh-oh. No, they didn't know. So what are we going to do? I know. We're going to have to wait. Oh, God loves you. How are we going to let them know? I think we're going to have to send somebody to go tell them that God loves them and to give them a treat. Who's going to be my missionary? Come on up. Brantley, you are the one that volunteered. So you got to give them this message. This is the message. You're telling them that God loves them, okay? And you're going to take three crosses, and you're going to take these, and you're going to go over there. They're over there. I'm pretty sure they're over there. Let's go look. Let's go look in that door. Let's see if they're in there. We're missing our... Oh, push, pull. Oh, push. Oh, my goodness. They're over there. Come out. You give it to them. Tell them what you're supposed to tell them. Brantley, what are you supposed to say? God loves you. God loves you. Okay, come out. God loves you. Here, take one. Just take one. God loves you. Did you tell them? Good. You got it? Come on, you can come out now. Thanks. And give them a hand clap. They're my helpers today, and Julie, always on the spot. Wow. Did you guys see that? We knew, we heard the message that God loves us, but they didn't. So we had to send somebody to them. And do you know what, boys and girls? Okay, listen. Do you know what? That's what today's about, Mission Sunday. God using you to tell somebody else the good news. And what was the good news? God loves you. Yes, and we're going to hear a speaker today that his mission field is up in Mitchell, and he works with teen girls, and he's going to tell us all about it. Sometimes missionaries are over in another country. Sometimes they're in the same state, but sometimes we do things like feed the poor or clothe people or help them with money. It's wherever God sends you. The places we could go, right? And your job as boys and girls is to tell somebody, what was that again?
I love you.
That's right. They aren't going to know unless you tell them. So that's what I want you to do today. Whether you're in school or at home or at daycare, find somebody and tell them the good news. God loves you. Okay, let's pray. Fold our hands, close our eyes. Your mom can fix it. Okay, thanks. Lord, we just love you so much, and we're excited today, excited to hear the good news that's going to be shared up by our speaker. And we thank you, Lord. The good news is for all of us to share with somebody. John 3:16, you came, Jesus. For God, you loved us so much that you sent Jesus. Whoever believes and repents will be saved. And Lord, we know that sometimes people aren't around where they can hear it and they don't know the message, but you can send us. And I ask you to send these boys and girls this week to tell somebody that you love them. Bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody gave us these crosses, and so that's why you got them today. All right? Okay, you can get your papers right over here.
Okay, thank you, Anne. In just a moment, we're going to have the junior choir sing for us. That's our 4th through 8th graders. Next Sunday, these little ones, they sing. So parents, make sure they're here before 9:15 so they can get their practice time in. Wow, that was pretty amazing, wasn't it? Yeah, thank you, Marina Schaefer directing, Jennifer Herbolt on the piano, Fred Seiler on the drums. Beautiful songs for our junior choir. So I'm going to read a scripture here in a moment before I have Eric come up, but one note on the choir. So they just really get from 9:15 to 9:30 to practice each Sunday. So that's why the kids need to be here ready to go by 9:15, not 9:20 and whatever, because then 10 minutes isn't much. They're not left with much. So thank you, parents, for having them here and singing today. Very beautiful. I'm going to read a couple verses from Isaiah chapter 58. Starting in verse 5, God was talking to Israel about the fast, and they were greatly misusing it. And so you could read the whole chapter on your own to get it all. I'm going to just start in verse 5. He says, "Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fast I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here am I.'" Amen. Eric, if you'd come, please. Thank you.
Well, I just want to start today by thanking Pastor Mike and the leadership of the church for having us down and for all the years of wonderful support that they provided the Abbott House and the kids that we serve. Again, my name is Eric, and I've been the executive director there now for almost 17 years, and that sounds like a long time, and I tell you, it has happened in the blink of an eye. I absolutely love the job that I get to do and the things that I get to see, the changes I get to see every day. It's not an easy job, but we have a wonderful group of people that are making a difference for kids here in South Dakota. I can tell you that at the Abbott House, we have now three programs. And so we have the residential treatment program there in Mitchell, where we have 45 girls from the ages of 7 to 17 that come from all over South Dakota. We've also created what we call the Bridges program. It's a therapeutic foster care program. And we have four of these foster homes in Mitchell. We do it a little different. The agency actually owns the houses. We buy them or build them. They're big 7 or 8 bedroom homes. And then we hire a married couple to live there. And by doing that, we're able to take kids that might have grown up in a facility somewhere and give them a home life with a family, and they go to public school. And it's been a wonderful program that we started back in 2012. We've got four of those homes in Mitchell for boys and girls today. And now we've started four of those homes out in Rapid City with some people in Rapids. So we've got four houses out there. And then our third program that we have is called Independent Living. And we have 16 apartments between Mitchell and Rapid City for kids when they turn 18. Because as they turn 18, a lot of them haven't had someone in their life that's going to walk with them. So we have a staff member that continues to work with them, help them get into college or make goals for their future and get started in life. And so those are the three programs that we offer today. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Abbott House in a bit, but I would like to start today by talking about prayer and what prayer can do in our lives and for our lives. I'm going to talk about King David. And when I bring up King David, I think probably most of you have some ideas about David. He was a great warrior. He was a man of God. He was larger than life. But he was also someone who probably you would say his sin might have kept him from working with God. But David chose to be someone who repented, and he lived his life always coming back to God, even if he made mistakes like many of us would. A few months ago, I attended a meeting in Nebraska. It was called Every Man a Warrior, and it really had a huge impact on me. It was a men's group. My dad actually invited me down, and I went down to participate in it. And while I was there, I met a neat group of guys that I continue to keep contact with every Sunday now on Zoom meetings in the evening. And we're learning things about marriage and family, raising children, how to spend and use our money. It's probably things I could have learned a little more about 25 years ago. But it's wonderful lessons. I have a son that's a senior right now and a daughter in college. And the things that I've learned there have had a huge impact on them just in the short time since I've been back. And the cornerstone of that weekend and the work that they do is comes from the book of Galatians in chapter 5, verse 1. I want to read that for you. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Guilt is an interesting thing. It's something I think that is important for us because if we've done something that we shouldn't have, we probably need to feel a little guilty, and that pushes us to either make amends with the people that we have or with God. But it also can be a yoke of slavery if we let it hang around and become part of the family, and so we don't want to do that. And this weekend that I spent down in Nebraska really brought that to light for me and has made me a better man, I think, today because of it. And if you go back to David, he could have easily let his situation with Bathsheba and the things that transpired there be a yoke of slavery and separate him from God. But he didn't. He repented. In the Bible, he calls himself a man of God, and he made his life right. And he spent almost constant communication with God during those years. And he did that through prayer. And I want to talk a little bit about myself next. And 18 years ago, I lived in Omaha, Nebraska. Worked for a children's agency down there, and I was a busy guy. I did programs kind of like what we do here in South Dakota, but I was also an officer in the Army National Guard. And as an officer during the early 2000s, we spent a lot of weekends doing things because there was deployments and things going on. And so at least 2 weekends a month, I was away from my family, sometimes three. And that went on for about a year. Then we went on an 18-month deployment to Bosnia, and I got back from that. I had two little kids, really small at the time, and I just wasn't happy. I wasn't happy with the fact that I was spending so much time away from my family. I grew up in a house where my parents divorced, and so I didn't get to spend a lot of time with my dad growing up, and I always wanted to be there for my kids. And so it was really weighing on me, and I was talking to lots of people about it at the time, and my brother-in-law happened to come for lunch one day, and he left me a book called If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat. And it's a book all about prayer, and I read it in just a few days. And the challenge of the author was to pray earnestly, pray consistently, and then just give God space to work in your life. And so I talked with my wife about it, and we began praying every day. And we weren't praying for anything specific to happen in our lives, but we were just praying about our situation and the fact that I wasn't very happy with the way our life was going. And about 6 months later, this job in Mitchell, South Dakota came open, in Abbott House, and we ended up taking it and moving my family up here. And you could have easily looked at that situation and said, well, you weren't happy. You probably would have taken another job if you hadn't taken that one. And so maybe it was prayer, maybe it wasn't, right? Well, 2 weeks into my job at the Abbott House, I was doing the financials, and I'm not a financial guy. I like numbers and all that. I was great at math, but I always ran programs. And so I was sitting in my office going through the numbers, and I got done, and I kept coming up to about $300,000 that we're going to be short that year. And this was April, so we didn't have a lot of time to make it up. And so I called my business manager, thought I must be missing something. I went and sat down in her office and showed her what I had done, and she literally looked back at me and shrugged her shoulders like this and said, Ernie always made it work. Ernie was the director that had been there for 31 years, and he had gotten cancer and passed away real suddenly. So I never trained with him or really talked with him. And so I went back to my office, and, you know, having done all this praying with my wife and come to Abbott House, you would think I would have shut the door and prayed about it, right? No, Oh, ye of little faith moment for me. I called my wife. I did shut the door. And I told her, honey, I think we made a huge mistake. I'm going to be the guy that shut Abbott House down. And so I was feeling kind of sheepish at that time. And 2 weeks later, I get a phone call from Pier, and they asked me to come up to a meeting at the finance office. So I went to Pier, and I walk in this office and sit down, and there's a gentleman across from me, and there's a little yellow sticky note with an eraser sitting on top of it. And he talks to me about rebasing, which I didn't even know at the time what rebasing was. It was a process that the state does every 4 or 5 years, and they look at all the programs in the state, and they try to determine if they're paying what they should be paying for services. And so anyway, he explains the whole process to me, and he says, so this will be your new rate, because we've determined that Abbott House is not being paid what they deserve to be paid. And he picked up the eraser, and I saw the rate was higher than what we were getting, and so I was excited. I thanked him and went out to the car, and I'm literally sitting in my car in a parking lot in Pier, and I'm making calculations of how many kids we serve and the programs we have and all that, and it came out to $322,000. And I would say to that, God is good. That was huge confirmation for me that the prayer that my wife and I had been doing for a few months was good. The rate-setting process, as I've learned in the years since that, it takes 8 or 9 or 10 months for them to make those kind of decisions. So probably before my wife and I ever even started praying about our situation, that was happening and God was at work and he brought me where he wanted me to be. And so I'm very thankful for that. And I will tell you today that I do believe that prayer works. And I wish I had time to tell you many other stories, because there are more in the last 16 years where I've seen that happen. Like in 2008, when the federal government had some new requirements for the Abbott House, our building, our physical building, we couldn't meet the requirements. And I was really stressed out about it. And one day a guy showed up for a tour. We gave him the tour, and we just happened to talk about this situation. And at the end of the tour, he sits down and says, well, if I could give you $1.5 million, would that help? And I had never met this man before. Over the next several months, we worked together. We made plans to actually build onto our building so we could do the things we needed to do. We added some training for staff. He paid for all of it, and it ended up being $3.5 million. And it's the only gift he's ever given. He showed up at that time for that purpose. So again, I say that God is very good, right? And I tell you this all today not to brag about the Abbott House or my situation. I tell you because I want to encourage you. I do believe that prayer works, and it doesn't have to be that you need a new building, or it doesn't have to be something huge in your life, but we all need to be praying and giving space for God. And if you'll do that, I will guarantee you'll see some neat things happen. And so I hope you'll do that today. Now, I've shared some really neat things that have happened at the Abbott House, and I definitely don't want to give you the impression that everything has always been good, because it hasn't been. We've struggled through the loss of a staff member. We've struggled through suicide by a young person in our community that we were trying to help. We've had cancer show up. We've had car accidents. We've had disagreements, and we've also had just petty day-to-day disagreements between our staff that we deal with all the time. So things aren't always good, but it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 4, and I'll read it to you. And not only this, but we will also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. So sometimes we have to go through tough things if we want to get to hope. And it's never fun, but it happens. And I think that's the perfect verse to describe the Abbott House, because it ends with hope, and that's what we're trying to provide to these young people. Abbott House is a place where kids are brought that haven't probably had a lot of the same opportunities and experiences that most of us in this room have had. And in fact, many of them have been hurt by the very people that should be there to help them. And that's really difficult to deal with. And I won't go into detail about their hurts. I'm sure you can imagine them, but they are profound. We've put together a program at the Abbott House that I kind of like to describe as an onion, because kids that have come through really traumatic experiences have a lot of layers of hurt and a lot of layers of guilt. And so we have a program that slowly works to just peel back those layers. And as we do that, kids begin to heal and they begin to gain hope for their future. We teach them new ways at the Abbott House to look at the behaviors that they're doing in life. So we meet them where they're at when they come in. We help them to understand why they might be doing some of the things that they do. And then we start to teach them ways that they can gain control over those emotions and things that well up with inside them. And as they do that and they get that first win, they think, wow, something might change in my life. And that's where we can take kids, and we do take them every day at the Abbott House. The kids that we see in our program that come to the residential program are only there most of the time because they have literally given up on any type of a future. And so it's a long walk, it's a hard walk for our staff to get them where they need to go. But we teach them all these things, we give them the tools, and then we walk alongside them, sometimes for 6 months, sometimes for 18 months while they get there. It's always a hard process. It always takes different trails and tips and turns, but we do get there with most of them that come to us. And there are many stories that I could share with you about kids that have come to us and really changed their futures, changed their lives, who have gone from what would have definitely been a path of destruction to one of hope and something for the future. We have a young lady that came to us. She was in our program. She ended up living in one of our foster homes and then our apartments, and now she's graduated Mitchell Technical College, and she's back working for us as a supervisor helping other kids. We have all kinds of stories that have happened like that. Every child that comes to us deals with that guilt that I talked about. Guilt can be that yoke of slavery if it's not dealt with in your life. Kids that come to us, they feel guilty for telling the truth about what's been going on. They feel guilty about the poor choices and actions that they've taken maybe in their life. They feel guilty about not being strong enough to keep their family together. All those things can hold on to them and weigh them down if they allow it to. And again, that's something that we can teach them to let go of because they didn't have control in most of those situations. We provide a learning environment where kids can learn a different way to live their life. The Abbott House program also gives kids the opportunity to do neat things and feel good about themselves. One of the little things that we started here just a few years ago was when a new girl comes into the program on her first day, she meets a girl that's just about to graduate. And the girl that's about to graduate the program, she takes her on a tour of the building, tells her how things work, she introduces her to all the staff, and it's great for both of those kids. And just a couple weeks ago, I had a young lady by the name of Abby that was given her tour to this new young lady that came in the program. They walked in my office, and it was just a total dichotomy. The new young girl had an old coat on with stains on it, and she looked like she needed to take a shower. Her hair was kind of a mess. And then Abby was standing there, and she had her makeup on, her hair all done, and she just looked so confident. And they talked to me for just a few minutes, and they headed down the hallway to their next staff member to meet. And as I was preparing this today, it just hit me what a difference those two kids are. And if I could take you back and show you Abby about 18 months ago when she came to us, I guarantee most of you would say there is no way she would ever gotten to that point because she was in really difficult shape when she came in. But again, the program really works. We've got a group of great people. At a recent board meeting, we had a young lady present. We do that every quarter. And one of the girl that was presenting talked about neurofeedback, and she told the board the neurofeedback treatment that she got at the Abbott House saved her life. And that really hit me hard because when somebody tells you that you know, it saved their lives, it's a big deal. And she'd been in many other places before that, and she was doing great. And neurofeedback is something we started a few years ago. It's actually a brain scans that we can do these days, and it shows pictures of what the neurons in the brain are doing. So we can do these brain scans, we can do treatment with kids, and we can do another brain scan in a few weeks or months, and it shows us the difference, and we can show it to the kids what's changing for them. And it's really amazing stuff that we've, again, been doing, and we've been doing it because we got a grant here a few years ago. We do surveys all the time, and we have a part on the bottom where families can fill out comments. And one of the moms here recently, her comment that she left us was, "Thank you for giving my daughter back." And I tell you, comments like that for me, because it's not always an easy job, They fuel me and they fuel the staff to continue to do the hard work with the kids because of the changes that are happening. And lastly, I want to share a little story with you about just a few weeks back. I was at church, and I go to Mitchell Church, and the foster homes we have in town, it's up to the parents where they go to church and what they want to do. But one of the girls' homes comes to our church, and we had communion that day. And the way we do communion nowadays with COVID is they put it all up front, and everybody comes out of the aisle to come up to get it, so we're all not touching things. And so my son and my wife and I, we got in line, and we're standing about halfway back, and up ahead of us quite a ways, there was one of the foster moms with some of the foster girls from our foster home. And just a little bit, my son noticed it, and he kind of leaned in and nudged me. He's a senior, and he said, "Dad, that's kind of cool." I said, "Yeah, that is neat. It's going to get me." Anyway, they went on up front. The pastor had made the announcement that he's going to have a table off to the side, and if anybody made a decision for Christ that day, he'd like to talk with them, and they write their name on a little card, and one of the girls went over and started praying, and oh, that got me. And I tell you that story just because I want you to understand the impact that the Abbott House is having on kids. We do a lot of treatment things, we do a lot of neat things, and this is just one of them. And seeing that young lady at the table that day is something I'll never forget for the rest of my life. And lastly, I again say God is good. This church has been supporting, as Pastor Mike said, the Abbott House for many, many years. And we greatly appreciate that support. I shared with him before I came up that when I started, we raised about $70,000 a year that supplemented our programs. We had about a $1.8 million budget at the time. Our budget today is over $9 million, and we raise about $450,000 a year, which is wonderful. But it also scares me to death because it's a big chunk of that money comes in from places. And so we're very thankful for that. And I just want to end by sharing what I think King David might say today, though, too, is the best way I think you can support the Abbott House and in the church and your groups and the things that you do is to please, please just keep the Abbott House on your prayer list. Pray for us, because I know that no matter what comes up, God will take care of it, and he's going to take care of the kids. And we're going to end today with a short little 3-minute video, and I thank you very much for having me down. I'm going to be here for the lunch afterwards, so if you have questions, I would love to answer them. Thank you. Kids that come to the Abbott House come for a reason, and it's not a good one. Many of them have seen things that kids should never see and experienced things that they should never experience. At Abbott House, we have children that come to us as young as 7, and we have young adults as old as 23 that are in our programs. When children come into our program, many times we see things like suicidal thoughts, suicidal gestures, kids that have really given up any hope for the future. And if you ask them, they'll tell you, "I won't live to be 18. It's a really sad state that they come to us in, very fragile.
My name is Samantha. My parents were alcoholics and my dad was a very violent man. I would sit in the living room as a kid and watch TV, and they would fight and fight and fight until it turned physical. And then I knew once my dad was done with her, that I was next. I was supposed to feel protected by my father, not threatened by him. I still remember vividly the last time my father ever beat me. And that was the last time he ever hurt me. The next day, I was introduced to the Abbott House, and I learned what it was like to be respected and loved, and it was the first day that I got a second chance at life.
That is exactly what Abbott House is, a second chance at life. Our kids come from all different walks of life. They have different backgrounds, different beliefs. And at Abbott House, we really work hard to build a culture of acceptance. It's the reason for our being. No child should ever have to live with worry or fear, ever.
At Abbott House, we care for children and teenagers across South Dakota. We provide safety, healing, and hope for the future. We give children a second chance to be children, and then the support and guidance they need to grow into successful young adults. You help us help them.
Thanks, Eric. Amazing ministry, isn't it? I tell you, I'm so glad we had Eric here today. It just brings it home, what we've been doing all these years, and what a ministry. Wonderful results. That young lady that shared in the video there of what she experienced before coming was probably on the mild side. From the letters that come, on the mild side of girls that come to that home. So we will be praying for you and doing our part to help in the ministry there. We're going to sing our closing hymn. 503, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. What a change, what joy. That's what this is all about. Let's stand together. 503. As Eric said, he is going to be able to stay and join us for the dinner time. So if you want to chat with him there, or maybe you have questions or things, please feel free to do so. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you. behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. And we always, as a prayer for our nation, we sing, God bless America. So let's do that now. Let me pray for the lunch as you go through the line. Father, thank you for all of this day. Thank you for Eric being here and sharing all that the Abbott House does. What a wonderful testimony. We ask, Lord, that you bless the food to the nourishment and strength of our bodies. Thank you for everyone that took time to prepare it. Bless our fellowship together. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Cheryl, for the beautiful music and the choir directors. If there's older ones that it's hard to stand in line, please make sure they get up to the front of the line. Eric, if you want to come with us.